Thank you, Howard. It's a pleasure to be here. Howard has always been a true protector of the Utah taxpayer and a true friend of education, and that's what we need in Utah. I was thrilled to work with him on Senate Bill 60, the American Civics Education Initiative, last year that we got passed, and since then, dozens of other states have put that in place so that our students can have a better understanding of how civics work. Our 18 to 25-year-olds are some of the lowest voting demographic we have in the state, and if we can help them understand how civics works, I think it'll be better for us. Utah is clearly doing better than some on the tax front, but we are beginning to lose our edge. According to the Tax Foundation, Utah has a higher overall tax burden than almost every state west of the Rockies. I say almost because it's not quite as high, the overall tax burden, as it is in California, Oregon, or Hawaii. But those are some awfully blue states to be holding ourselves next to. I like much of what is in the Utah 2.0 proposal because it will allow us to become more competitive with the surrounding states. Let me talk about each one of those. First, and I'm going to be very clear in my answers, I agree that Utah should allow sales tax exemption for all manufacturing inputs. Most states don't tax manufacturing inputs. In fact, only seven states do, and Utah is one of those seven states. Utah's a little different than the other six in that we have an exemption if that input lasts more than 3 years. But that's an artificial number that was come up based on the depreciation number. To me, we should not be punishing Utah companies for purchasing tools of production that will allow us to promote or employ more Utahns. Now, some businesses already have exemptions, like computer chip and diamond bit manufacturers, but all should be exempt. We should not be in the business of picking winners and losers. We already tax outputs, payrolls, profits, and a final sales tax. There's no need to tax input. This is a part of Utah 2.0 that I fully endorse. Now, it will cost money. I think the way to do that is, the way to offset that is to delay the implementation for a year and phase it in over a 3-year process. This will allow businesses to adjust and let the economic activity begin today. The second point, I agree that Utah should allow the corporate or franchise tax income calculation to use a single sales factor. Today in Utah, multi-state companies can use an apportionment formula that factors in a percentage of payroll, a percentage of sales taxes, and a percentage of assets that are in Utah. But this discourages what Utah wants most. We want businesses that will bring payroll and assets to the state. Today, we let some companies use a single sales tax factor, and again, that's picking winners and losers, something we shouldn't do. Many other states, including Colorado, Texas, and California, use a single sales tax factor. It's time that we do that in Utah. And again, I think a delayed implementation with a phase-in over time is the most appropriate way to implement this. Before I move to the third point, I just want to note, because these first 2 points are business sales taxes, that business taxes are really an economic lie. Businesses aren't taxed. It's people that are taxed. It's consumers paying taxes in the form of higher prices, or it's workers paying taxes in the form of lower wages, or it's investors paying taxes in the form of lower returns. It's important that we implement these 2 points of Utah 2.0. The third point, I agree that Utah must do more to help provide a proper workforce for the 21st century. I serve on the Board of Trustees of the Utah Technology Council. Some of the best technology companies in Utah, sir, are members of the Utah Technology Council. And meeting after meeting, our number one issue is having a more qualified workforce in Utah. When I meet with the Utah Manufacturers Association, they say that is their top priority. We can do better. We're not as doing as well as we say. Prosperity 2020 is the same old people looking at the same old problems, coming up with the same old solutions. Just last week, I was down at the College of USU Eastern, and I asked what percent of their students were taking remedial math courses. It was a percentage that was far too high. We are pushing too many students that are unprepared to traditional universities. We would do much better to help our students know what fits best for them. My Lieutenant Governor running mate, Robin Bagley, is here today. She runs what I think is a fantastic charter school called Career Path High that's on the Davis Applied Technology campus. She's taken at-risk kids, kids that are dropping out of the Davis County schools, brought them into Career Path High using alternative methods of teaching so that these kids graduate not only with a high school degree, but with a certificate from one of the 30 different programs operated at the Applied Technology campus. We need to focus on how we fund higher education. We spend too much time funding enrollment rather than graduation. We need to make sure our students coming out of high school have a better sense of what jobs are out there for them. Today, we have about 380 students for every one high school counselor. Now, the goal in the state is 350 to one, but that should be much closer to 250 to one, which is a national average. This will let our students know what routes that they can pursue that will not just lead to jobs and pieces of paper, but that will, you know, certificates or diplomas, but will lead to actual careers. We can do it better. I would encourage all of you to go to my website, hirejj.com, and look at my detailed plans for improving K through 12 education. We also need to start a discussion on who pays for universities. I love what the Eccles Business School is doing. They're focusing on having students pay a larger portion for marketable skilled degrees. Ease the burden of the taxpayers. The fourth point, internet sales tax collection. I want to say that on this one, I agree in part but disagree in part with how to solve the sales use tax and collection problems faced by the states. This is not a fairness issue or a new tax. It is a collection issue. There's a use tax that is owed that states have a hard time collecting. This is not something that the states should solve because it's an area of interstate commerce. It's something that Congress should solve. In fact, this is one of the main reasons we have a Constitution instead of the Articles of Confederation. Used to be that if you were a shoemaker in North Carolina and wanted to sell in Pennsylvania, you paid a tariff as you went through every state. That was one of the things that doomed the Articles of Confederation and put the Constitution in place. Congress should solve this problem. But they should solve it in a fair way. The states have been far too wed to a destination sales tax rate that makes remote sellers like catalogers and internet companies collect at 10,000 different rates. We should be focused on an origin-based rate. That's what Chairman Goodlatte is working on. It's something that Overstock and I have endorsed. It is a solution which will be fair, and frankly, it will be cheaper for the states because the states won't have to provide millions of dollars of software to remote sellers to collect tax for them. I appreciate the Taxpayers Association letting me come. I want you all to know that I have signed a no tax increase pledge. I believe that limited government means limited taxes, and we must do it better. Thank you.